Thank you, Brother Nathan. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse number 1. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Read along with me as we go here. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this position of service, this job we need to do. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, we couldn't do it without God's mercy. Do you realize that every day, every moment, every thought, every breath we breathe is given to us by the mercy of God? You know, we don't deserve to even breathe. And that sounds terrible, but it's the truth. I mean, compared to God, we don't deserve anything. Everything we have, just to be allowed to serve Him, is mercy. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, you know, we're here to serve. We have a ministry. We get to serve. If we're going to serve, we need to renounce the hidden things that shouldn't be a part of our life. Renounce them. Get rid of them. Not own up to them. We don't want them. Don't put any place of safe harbor. The hidden things of dishonesty. It is amazing how we will shade the truth. I've known some people, it's like they couldn't speak the truth if they wanted to. It's like, well, no matter what they say, they have to kind of shade it here and there. It's weird. Not walking in craftiness. We're handling the word of God deceitfully. But watch this. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What does that mean? Manifestation means to put forth, to show forth, to demonstrate, if you will. Let it be known, the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves. What are we saying? Your life should be a testimony to the truth of the Word of God. Everything you do, your life, what you say, what you think, how you deal with others, your demeanor, ought to be a testimony of Christ. You know, we have a ministry. We have something we could do. Every single person in here, if you're saved, you've got a ministry. Somewhere, through the influence of those who are around you, whatever that circle of influence you have some influence. And listen, our testimony should be should commend to truth to the conscience of all those around us. When they're around us, it ought to speak to our conscience, their consciences. That person deals with truth. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid. Now we said we've got to get rid of the hidden things that are wrong and show the things that are right, manifestation. If they be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. If our lives aren't showing it, who's missing out the most? Those who never knew Christ in the first place. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. We're not here to put ourselves in place, to have everybody pat us on the back or show what we are. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, the presence of God, in earthen vessels. That's who we are. We're earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's saying the reason we are, God uses us, just earthen vessels, just really just shovels full of dirt that He has breathed life into, is that when God shines through us, it's obvious that God is the one who's shining. Now, we're not doing, if nothing more is going on in our life than some man can do, then it's probably not God shining, it's maybe just man shining. We need to put ourselves in God's hands, available and ready to be used. I'm going to explain where I'm headed here in a minute or two. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this topic this evening, vessels for Jesus. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels for Jesus. Father, again, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for speaking to us. Lord, we have some things coming up on the calendar here in the next few months that I think we need to take full advantage of. And I want to be encouragement to our folks here that we may be used of You in a great and mighty way. We have a world that's going crazy, but we really can make a difference, at least in our part of the world. So Lord, give us Your wisdom, Your understanding. Speak to our hearts here. May our vessels be full of You, empty of us. And we'll give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. We are scheduled for a series of fall meeting. This year, we've done it this year. We have, just like we have in many years, for the last few years. We have had a Bible conference in the early fall to bring our hearts back to the Lord with kind of a 1-2-3 punch. And this year we have something similar scheduled. The difference is there's going to be more of a heavier emphasis on being a light to our community. That means endeavoring with the Lord's guidance and the Lord's power to make a definite and visible impact on those who live around us, with the intentions of drawing them toward the Lord, the light. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, possibly see some folks saved, some homes reached, healed, marriages restored. We have evangelist Richard Harper coming in, and he'll be in there that first Sunday in October, and it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now, what we're doing there is, some of this, is, of course, is for us. But the idea is for us to be bringing others to the services, that we can see some folks saved, some changes in some folks' lives. I really want to encourage you to do that. Now, we can do that. Now, the next few weeks, I really want to bring some things to our attention that will put us in position to be able to make an impact on our community. Our country is going bananas. By the way, it's not gun reform that we need, but soul transformation. I'm at least a little bit encouraged, a little bit. They say, you know, it's not the guns who pull the trigger, it's the people who do, and that's true. And so they're talking about mental illness. I'm sorry, it's most of it's sin. Just plain sin. Sin will make us do absurd things, crazy things. Believe it or not, there's a murderer in the heart of every person sitting in here. If we get down in a position where some, you might be surprised what we would do. But God can changes all those things. And praise the Lord, that's all past for, I would think, hope all of us here. The Bible says that in Psalm 36, the transgression of the wicked, say within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's the problem. Now, the only hope we have to make such an impact is if we are willing to be vessels in the hand of our Lord. We have a great treasure to give to those around us. However, that treasure is in us. Simple earthen vessels. God did that on purpose so that the power of God can be clearly seen. Knowing that we cannot do the work of God because we are just shovels full of dirt. But the might of God that is far beyond the capacity of these shovels full of dirt may be seen and draw others to Christ. Now, we are not the Lord. We are not the light. We are not the Holy Spirit. We are vessels that carry the light. We are vessels through which the Holy Spirit should be able to work. We are the, if you watch this, we are the presentation service piece that's used to serve up the living water and the bread of life to the hungry, starving, peaceless, hopeless prisoners of sin that live around us. When I grew up, my mom had, she had some china cupboards and a few things like this. She had a few choice pieces that she would display. And you only got those out on Thanksgiving and a few other times, you know, on events like that, because they were special. They're service pieces. You get those out and we're going to serve something special on them. We have some china that we got when we first got married. And now, through us, they're fancy, but we got them at the grocery store. But anyway, for us, they're fancy. And that's our good china, so to speak. When we get that out, we have guests coming over. And it's nice. And they're service people. We are the vessels that carry the light of Jesus Christ, that carry the message, that deliver, serve up what God is trying to serve the rest of of the world. We are vessels to be used of Him. Now, if we're going to make the impact that we need to make, we're going to have to be serious about being ready to serve up the wonderful gift of God to our hurting and dying people. But to do so, we need to make sure that our vessels are clean and shiny. And it may be the hidden things. It may be the hidden things that hide the truth from those around us. You know, we kind of give ourselves a lot of slack. Well, I do this and this and this and this, so that should make up for all these couple other things that I do. Now, you know as well as I do, you know what everybody looks at? All those things that we do. And those things kind of ruin our reputation. It's amazing how that happens. Now, I have not examined your vessel, but the Lord has. Sometimes we become indifferent to our own dirt. You see, have you ever seen that commercial about, it's Febreze, I think it is, and they said, you've gone nose blind. And they said, everybody gets in your car, smells the dog, and when they get in the car, and all of a sudden they show the cars, all looks like a little dog. You know, that's what they smell. You don't smell them because you're going nose blind. Or it shows a bunch of teenage boys in their bedroom, and it says what everybody else smells is all these dirty athletic socks, you know. But they don't smell anymore. They're nose blind. And we can get that way. And we can get that way about our vessels. We're just kind of used to it. We become indifferent to our own dirt. We're willing to live in our own filth and work around our own mess. But we're going to be entertaining company. Folks are going to be close enough to look into our house and possibly come in contact with it. And we must be sure that the vessels are presentable. We don't want to use a vessel that's been setting out for weeks, months, years, becoming dirty and crusty and moldy to serve up the bread of life in. That which is defiling our vessels may have been in us for so long that it's become hard. There could be some things in our life that we've kind of come hardened to it. It's attached itself to us, and we just are so used to it. Just a little rinsing may be enough, but just a little rinsing of the water of life may not be enough to make the vessel usable. We may need to allow it to soak in the water of the Word for a time until the water begins to soften that mess in our lives. We may need to scrub on it some. For some things, we may need to get out the steel wool and some elbow grease. We may work up a sweat. We may cause a little friction. And a few may even get a little hot over it. But if we want to be clean vessels that the Master will use to serve up the bread of life, we may have to go beyond our comfort zones. We may need to get honest with ourselves and clean out some closets. Wash off some plates. And by the way, Jesus says, don't just wash off the outside and look good. Let the Lord clean the inside. The outside take care of itself. Now it could be that some of us really don't care if the Master uses us or not. However, if the vessel is not usable, the Master may just put it on the shelf, never to be used again, if the vessel refuses to subject itself to a thorough cleaning. Do you ever have one of those things? It's we've had a few things around the house. We had some chairs out on the back porch, and they kind of got kind of mildewed, sort of. And you scrub and you clean, you scrub and you clean, and it just won't come clean. Every once in a while, you get some piece of brass or something, And no matter what you do, it would have been a nice candle holder to hold the light, but you don't put it out anymore because you clean it and never it looks clean anymore. Wouldn't that be a shame if our vessels got to the point where God says, I can't use you anymore? Now, the thing is, it's not that He can't clean us. It's that we get hard and won't let Him clean us. You see, cleaning is not difficult for the Lord. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us usable. Some of us may remember what it was like to be squeaky clean. And maybe this would be the first time that you really decide, I want to be right and clean before the Lord's eyes. Let me give you a couple points here tonight. Number one. We are chosen vessels. Chosen vessels. We're going to be several different places in the Bible, so if you want to keep your Bible handy, Acts chapter 9 is a story of Saul, which turns out ends up being Paul. And God, now Saul's been a mess. He's been taking Christians and hauling them out to be killed or imprisoned, whatever. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 8, it says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eye, remember he was on his way to Damascus, and the light shined and knocked him off his horse, got him off his high horse, and knocked him off his high horse and got his attention. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. I think that's interesting too. Paul ended up on the Straight Street. That's just interesting with all some stuff we were talking about Sunday morning. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. For the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God says, I know where Saul came from. I know his past. I know his reputation. I know what he's been doing. But I've chosen him. He's a chosen vessel. Now listen, Jesus said in John 20, he came in that night after the resurrection. He said to his disciples, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto him. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You know what he says? He says, I've chosen you. Get a job done. If you don't go out and give the gospel, it won't be given. And people will die in their sin. But Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall the God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. We are the temple, the vessel. Each one, God knows every single heart. He's got a job for every single person. It's not the job that he asked Paul to do, but he's got a job for you. Listen, you walk into a house. You ever see, it used to be, these ladies used to have these cup holders, you know? You hang all your cups on there and so forth. Or maybe it's like Miss Kathy. She's got a bunch of these little teacup things. She did that one time with all the ladies. Forget what it was you did there. But everybody had a different little tea set. Now, can you imagine you walked in there and she's got them all displayed and some of them still have some dried tea in the bottom? Now, some of them are clean. But some other ones, you know, they got something crusty and something else. You know, they got a leftover cookie left on there and some ants are eating on that. And she, I'm not saying her house like that, okay. But you say, well, I'm not going in there. Well, most of the cups are clean. See, we make an impact. We're all earthen vessels. And we need to be clean vessels to be used. By the way, this is kind of a side. I kind of came across this, kind of came to me Saturday morning. I was talking to someone about this message. We're earthen vessels. You know what it means? Like clay pots. Now, if you take clay, when I was a kid, we had art class, and we take clay and you mold it and you make something out of it and so forth, and you let it dry, and that's fine. But the fact is, it's still kind of brittle. You're not going to be able to hold water. And the fact is, if you rub it, it kind of rubs off on your hand, you know, and it'll crack, it'll crumble. Do you know how to stabilize a clay pot so it's usable? Put it through the fire. Don't run from the fire. Put it through the fire. So you may be going through the fire. God's preparing your clay vessel, your earthen vessel, to do greater things than just sit there on the shelf like a piece of artwork. We may have been going in the wrong direction all our lives, like Paul. But God can still use us if we will give all we have to Him. Earlier in chapter 9 of Acts, it says, verse 3, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I've been working on your heart for a long time. It's time to get this right. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's what we need to say as a vessel. I'll be your peace. I'll be your service piece to be used to do whatever you need to do. We're chosen vessels. Number two. Vessels serve a purpose. A vessel serves a purpose. For instance, we are vessels that carry the light. In Matthew 5, verse 13, you know the passage. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and watch, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We hold and carry the light. Now hang tight. Don't allow your vessel to shade the light. Luke 8:16 says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. If we're not careful, the vessel that we're in that's supposed to be shining the light is actually covering the light. The dirt on our light, the dirt on our vessel may not allow the light to shine through. A vessel that is just for, watch this, a vessel that's just for show is not of great value in the Lord's economy. There's a lot of people who go to church and they want to be vessels for show. They want to be the Ming vase. They want to be the one that everybody admires, that everybody falls down to and takes care of. But when it's all said and done, it's not accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. Now sometimes a vessel has to get dirty, if you will, not in sin, but in work. If you're so worried about chipping the vessel or making it dirty, the vessel is not much good. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read some of that. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He has given us, committed unto us, the word of reconciliation to serve up to those around us. Vessels have serve a purpose. Church is not a museum full of vessels to be looked at and admired. We're not a bunch of vases on, or should I say vases, on display. Church is a hospital. Well, wait a minute. We are vessels to be used to tend to the needs. But watch me. A hospital needs to be clean of all defilement if it is going to be of more help than harm. If we're vessels to be used in the hospital of life, we had better be clean ourselves, or we could end up doing more harm than good. Vessels should be clean, ready to fulfill the purpose. Therefore, as we read, first of all, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, in 2 Corinthians 4, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, no one likes using a dirty vessel. And then it goes on and says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who wants to take something into your body from a dirty vessel? You don't know what in the world you may be contaminating yourself with. And so we refuse it altogether. I'll tell you what, there's more folks who have been driven away from church because of dirty vessels in the church than atheists out there telling you not to go. Because there's a God-sized hole in every person's heart that only God can fill, and we know we go looking for that. And when things go wrong, things go bad, God sometimes slaps us on our back. We know that we need something bigger than we are. And then they think about what they've noticed and what they've learned and what they've experienced in a little place called a church. And they say, well, why should I go there? They say, well, it's full of hypocrites. Well, the fact is, absolutely, because we've all have done things we shouldn't have done. And they shouldn't look. But listen, we ought to live as blamelessly as we can. And when we do mess up, we ought to make sure they know that we don't agree with what we just did that was messed up. Make it right. Ask forgiveness if we have to. So that we can be blameless, so that we can make a difference in somebody's life. Vessels with a purpose should be set aside only to be used for that purpose, clean and always ready. He says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen. I remember sometimes my dad, we just kind of grew up and grew around cars and this and that and other thing. And I forget what it was he had one day he was doing. And he needed to pour some oil in an old gas engine. And there was an old glass, drinking glass. And so he put some oil in that thing and brought it over and put it in there. Now, suppose I said, okay, I'll go get you a drink of water. It's glass, it'll clean out. Okay, let's clean it out. Now you want to drink out of it. You're still a little bit kind of fishy about it, aren't you? And see, that's just it. We want to live in the world when we want to live in the world. And we want to look like we're living for Christ when we're living for Christ to do His work. And yet somebody has watched us put the wrong thing in our vessel, and then all of a sudden we show up at their door and we're all clean. And yes, we may be fine, but they know what was in that vessel before. I'm not drinking from that. We can't be running around with gas in the cup one day and milk the next. That glass will clean off. I know it will clean up. We all know that. But we are given over to be vessels sanctified unto Him if we really want to make a difference in our area. We're chosen vessels. Vessels have a purpose. And going along with what we're saying, number three, we are to be vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. 1 Thessalonians, going along with what we just kind of talked about that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, says this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, you know what? We're a little quick to say, to kind of feel like we've arrived. Well, I'm trying to live for Him. That's good. Abound more and more. Well, let's not get crazy. How can you be too much like Christ? He said, I want you to abound more and more, for ye know, verse 2, what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, to be set apart to Him, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You know, it's interesting, out of all that, the one thing he talked about there is fornication. Illicit sexual activity. You know, sexual issues still plague the church these days. Many folks think we should love others and accept and affirm sinful sexual lifestyles. The world wants to convince us that we'll win more if we agree with the homosexuals and the transgenders and so forth. Now, they're sinners. We're going to win them by grace. But you better take a stand. Because you see, if you don't take a stand, you don't have the power of God. You don't have the power of God, you're not. One day after dinner, the news went off and Family Feud came on. And they ask some stupid questions, they really do. And this, the one question they asked that evening was this: what could a church do that would make more men want to go? That was the question. You don't remember that one? What could a church start doing that would get more men to want to go to church? That was the question. And you know what the number one answer was? Get strippers. That was the question. Now, I'll be honest with you. The other one was free food. And the third one, you ready? Put in a bar. Now, the fact is, if we're not careful, there are churches that have the ooh baby sisters. Dance it on the platform. Now, I know the lady says, well, it's art. That's not what the guys are looking at. Now, there may be a few of these guys that are looking at that way, but it's not the normal guys are not looking. I'm sorry, it's just not. I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking and no one will say. And they'll go to another church because their ooh baby girls are prettier than the ones at their church. We laugh at that and say, but you know what? We almost were practicing that. And the bar? There's churches who have bars in the basement right now. I think it was 2 years ago, and I haven't heard anything about it. I think maybe they were smart enough not to make a big to-do about it. Maybe they did. There was one in the southern part of our county where they were going to have Bible study and beer. beer and Bible study. This had a good crowd. So what's wrong with that? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and he that deceived thereby is not wise. That's what's wrong with that. Maybe they should, if they read their Bible, they'd find out that wasn't a good thing. I'm not trying to be mean. No wonder the church has been so ineffective. The church in general in the world has been so ineffective that we're trying to use the world to get the world. You don't do that. We are vessels of honor. Set aside. Keep the junk out. If we're going to be vessels of the Lord that your Lord can use to change this world around, we cannot just give into the world's view and their lifestyles. We need to renounce it. And by the way, flee fornication ourselves. Now you say, well, I'm not practicing, know it, but we've got to kindly and lovingly, but take a stand. So we're so worried about, we think, well, Christians are nice, and so that means we need to be politically correct. No. Some folks are not willing to flee from their sins, and thus will be used very little in the work of God, and will accomplish very little for the sake of the gospel, and cannot expect to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We are not to contaminate our vessels. Do not contaminate your vessel with the wrong things. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, hang on to his vessel, use his vessel, in sanctification and honor. It goes on and says this, not in the lust of concupiscence. In other words, longing after the things that the world longs after. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond to fraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. We can't have contaminated vessels. We expect to be vessels to be used. We got some things coming up in the next few months here. I want to make good use of that time. But and we're going to talk about some things in succeeding weeks here. If we really want to, you say, well, it comes and it goes and nothing really happened. I know. Why is that? This passage goes on. Vessels can be beyond clean. They can be a polished vessel. Verse 9 says this, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it, toward all the brethren which are in the Macedonia. For we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. What's he saying there? The way we deal business, the way we do work in the neighborhood, the way you treat the people down at the grocery store, the way you treat your spouse, your family, the testimony that your family, your kids have, all those things are attached to your vessel. And that vessel is being seen by the neighborhood, being seen by all those around us. And we want to now serve up the treasure that we have in this earthen vessel. And how many are going to be put aside because I know what else is in that vessel during the week. I know what that vessel is used for during the week. I've seen this. I think I've told you this. Years ago, a little church I grew up in, there was a particular young man that was my age. We grew up in church together, and we became, you know, what we were, in high school. His father was a contractor, built houses, and a little private contractor down there in Carroll County. And one of the other guys at the church was a plumber. And he did a lot of, everybody knew everybody else, and he did a lot of the plumbing for him. And the plumber actually sometimes taught the men's adult Bible class for Sunday school. And I don't know how we got on the conversation, but my friend, he said, you know so-and-so teaches Sunday school? I said, yeah. You ought to hear him on the job. He says, the words he says, things he does, you wouldn't believe it. And he stands up in front of the men's Bible class and teaches. That young fellow, that friend of mine, really couldn't give you 2 cents for church these days. He's a nice guy, but to him, it's just a bunch of foolishness. And I'll tell you why. Because somebody was serving up the treasure of the Word of God in a dirty vessel. And he said, if that's what they are, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, we graduated together, and we see each other at the reunions about the only time we see each other. And I think I have his respect. I do. But he said, he just kind of looks at me, so you're still pastoring, huh? Yeah. Because that's what he sees. It's time to clean the vessel. It's time to clean the vessel. 2 Timothy 2 tells us this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows if you're really his child or not. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 now. But in a great house, it's called the church. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What kind of vessel do you want to be? If you were to attempt to give a co-worker the gospel, would your words fall on deaf ears because they've seen how you deal with things at work? Or would they come with open ears, at least to hear you out, because they've seen you be a clean vessel? Going to a family reunion, and the subject comes up. You give your testimony what Christ has done in your life. Does your vessel give witness that it really has made a difference? Or does your vessel give witness that it really doesn't make any difference? The neighbor going into the hospital. And you say, well, I'm going to pray for you. Do they say, well, thank you, I really appreciate that, knowing that seeing your vessel as one that fears God? Or what are they going to think about the fact that you had that dispute over who's where you draw the line on the on mowing? Or the fact that you stuck a little bird shot in the dog's back end because he was doing his business on your yard again. Or you yelled and screamed at him because something wasn't quite right and they came over the line or playing the music too loud. What's your vessel? What kind of vessel do you want to be? Watch, I'm not asking how you measure up to other vessels in the church cabinet. For we dare not make ourselves be number and compare themselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. I'm not saying to do that. But 2 Timothy says we need to be vessels of honor. It goes on and says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared under every good work. We can be usable in the hand of God, clean and thus prepared to do the work of God. A dish that is sitting in a dirty dishwasher may have great potential, but at the moment it's unusable. And we can sit in the dishwasher of the church and still be dirty. He goes on and says this, flee also youthful lusts. In other words, wash the dirt on your insides as fast as you can. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How many folks want to be used by God, but that are still full of dirty junior high filthiness? I am amazed more and more of how immature adults are these days. They're so filthy minded. It's like a bunch of junior high boys in the locker room that all of a sudden discovered girls and that they're different. And, you know, they're saying this joke and that joke and, you know, it's uncouth and so forth, but, you know, a bunch of stupid boys don't know a whole lot better. But you get adults who are just like that. Some show very little love and actually either believe or at least practice the belief that others must somehow earn their love. It's amazing how we are. Some live in constant worry rather than in faith and peace. Many of us want to make sure everyone knows how much we know and we'll get into all kinds of conversations and conflict rather than to do the eternal work of God. In this passage, we talk about vessels of honor, flee youthful lust. He said we ought to have follow righteousness and love. Do you really think that somebody has to earn your love? I mean, to think that, you must mean you think you earned God's love. We can't earn God's love. He goes on here, he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive of them at his will. What do you say? All those things are what makes the vessel dirty. The way we interact, the way we work with people, the way we whether we love them, whether we don't love them, whether we have faith or we don't have faith. We want folks to trust Christ as their Savior, and we're all running around worried about how in the world we're going to get through the day. Well, your God's supposed to get you through, isn't He? But we've already dirtied our vessel with a lack of faith. They see us, and what they see is somebody who doesn't really believe what he's talking about. But now we're trying to coerce them into being some Christian. You know what they think? You just want me to get in there to get, and you want my money. The success or failure of these meetings that we have coming up rests heavily on how we serve up and present the truth in our community. Now, the community may refuse it anyway. But they should not be rejecting the answer to their needs because they're repulsed by the vessel we serve it in. We also, and I say that so strongly, but listen, they're looking for excuses, not the... I mean, we have a bunch of good folks in here. I'll be honest with you, we really do. But we need to set ourselves apart as much as we can in every area we can, because they're looking for a reason to discount everything we say. We cannot wait until the revival time is upon us before we start cleaning up the vessels. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Jad and I go out to eat on Sundays after the morning church service, and while she's administrator here, there's a couple other times, like before church on Wednesday, we usually go out and have a little dinner, and so we're back in time for Wednesday night church, and she's teaching, I'm getting ready to preach and so forth. But you go to a restaurant, you unroll your silverware, and there's this little clump of stuff on the knife. That's clean clump because, I mean, went through the dishwasher, and it was sterilized in a high heat, and chances are it's really not going to hurt you, to be honest with you. I mean, it's been killed. I mean, it's clean dirt. But who wants to eat off of that? Want to be unspotted. Sometimes it came out and you're basically, there's nothing big, but there's little cloudy spots on the silverware. And again, it's probably just, but who knows what it was that actually dried on there. That's some of the water. I mean, it shouldn't have been clean water, and it wouldn't have made a spot like that. And it doesn't take much until we're almost, we went someplace, I forget where it was, and she gave me 3 sets of silverware before we found a set that was clean. It was away from here, we were on vacation. And we opened that thing up, and the napkin was sticking to the silverware. I got a feeling that they had never even run, there's a batch that never even ran through the dishwasher. And so she said, can I have another? She said, well, another one. We opened it up, and it's hanging from the napkin. And then she said, wait a minute, something's not right. So she said, there's another set of them. And sure enough, it was okay. Now, somebody didn't do that on purpose. And we don't necessarily go defile ourselves on purpose. But we may be dirty anyway. The evangelist can only do so much. In a large part, our community is going to measure the words of this evangelist by our testimony. His words aren't going to carry much weight if our testimony argues against it. The Bible says Jesus went into his own town. There's a prophet's not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin and his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. Now, he was perfectly clean. But they had conjured up a whole story about him enough to discount everything he was doing. What if we actually give him fuel for the fire? If the people are turned off from the gospel because of us, there's not much the evangelist can do. We are simple earthen vessels. God has chosen to do that so that those around us will recognize our weakness and yet see the power of God working in us and through us. Earthen vessels can easily become dirty. Our job is to keep ourselves under the spout of the washing of the water of word so we can be clean to be used by the Master. We are to be vessels of honor, set apart of the Lord, so others may see the light within us and glorify the Father which is in heaven, and come to the light themselves and be made clean. I want you to think about this for the next few weeks here. We got a couple of months till it comes. But we're going to start wanting to invite folks and encourage folks to come in before that week. Right now is when we can be setting our testimony. There may be some things we need to make right. We may have made some folks mad. And we walked away, well, I'll never deal with them. Maybe we need to go back and do some things right. You want to have an impact on somebody else's life and somebody else's heart. We need to be set apart unto God, clean vessels of honor. So that when we decide to serve up that wonderful treasure we have within us, that people will be willing to take it, receive it. Miss Judy Chamberlain back here every once in a while sends some stuff over our house, and every time she sends us stuff, she usually brings it in some kind of little dish, and she says, "Now I don't want the dish back either. That's part of the gift." And she puts all kinds of goodies in there. It's a brand new spanking dish. Now, if Judy Chamberlain offers you food, take it. It's always good. And she serves it up in a very appealing way because we want it. Makes us want it. You go to a fancy restaurant, they say presentation is as much as 60% of the service that you get. Now, I'm not so sure. Sometimes the presentation, there's not much left. There's too much plate space open, and they're trying to make it pretty, and you still walk away hungry. But that's what they say, and apparently it does mean something because of the way you present it. We're vessels, and presentation matters. Father, thank you again for speaking to us. Lord, we've got some things coming up the next few months here. And this is something we should do all the time, stay clean. Lord, I really want us to kind of set a goal here. That maybe there's some cleanup work we need to do. There may be some things we need to go back and scrub up. We may have even splashed a little dirt on somebody else that we need to make right. Ask forgiveness for. Maybe there are a testimony we need to clean up. Not putting on a show, but it could be confessed and clean before you that allows the treasure that we have in earthen vessels to be seen. So Lord, bless us. Give us your wisdom in these things. Prepare us to do your work. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano's going to play.